We will talk about two things in Cut the Clutter today. One is this controversial proposal or trial balloon that corporates should be allowed to own banks or should be allowed to run private banks. It's very controversial, and I will lay out some facts for you, pros and cons, and some analysis in terms of what this means, because a lot of it is foreign for me also. So if it's foreign for me as well as a journalist who does this for a living, I am sure for a lot of the people who are not in the financial community, this will be very cluttered. And second, we'll talk a little bit briefly about this wonderful book. If you may see it, this is called Jugalbandi, the BJP before Modi, written by Vinay Sitapati, who is a brilliant scholar. But if I may say so, cut his teeth as a journalist in our newsroom. He was our young, bright colleague, and is now a young, bright academic. So the main issue that we take up today is this idea of allowing corporates to own private banks, and this has caused immediate alarm. You've seen statements and articles from former RBI governors. Three former RBI governors have called this a very dangerous idea. The first statement was made by Raghuram Rajan, a recent former governor, and Dr. Viral Acharya, a recent former deputy governor, both top class academics, and then others also commented on this. This is one of those ideas which has found unanimity of criticism, unanimity in disagreement from all academics and policy people so far. Among established academics and established policy people, nobody has risen right now until now to support this idea, including Ila Patnaik, who's our economics teacher at the print.in. You've been reading her articles, and I hope you've seen her live question answer session today also of Illanomics. If not, please check it out. I will share a link with you. Now, what is it? Where has this started from? Where has this trial balloon come from? It is a trial balloon as yet. Remember, for clarity, this is just a proposal. It's an idea that's been floated. It is not something that the government has accepted. It's not something that the government has as yet debated or discussed also. But you know, as we keep on saying, bina karan koi baat nahi hoti. There must be something to it why this proposal has been floated, why this trial balloon has been floated. And you know, this has not come from an editorialist who said, achar, private companies ko bhi, corporates ko bhi license dena chahiye. Not like that. It is an official group that Reserve Bank of India had set up. So this group is called, in headlines you will see IWG. So IWG stands for Internal Working Group. Full form is Internal Working Group to Review Extant Ownership Guidelines and Corporate Structure for Indian Private Sector Banks. So this is an RBI group which specifically looked at private sector banking. Because I'll tell you, and these are the pros, I'll come to cons, which are much longer and much more detailed. But the basic pros are that there is too little lending in India, that too little credit is available to India, either to the individual or to a corporate or to an entrepreneur or to an industrialist or to a medium, small, micro industry entrepreneur. So the group has a bunch of recommendations. And I'm reading these not exactly in the chronology in which they appear. In fact, I'm taking up number 3, which has now become the most controversial and most discussed. And that one says that large corporations should be allowed to get bank licenses to run banks, but a few things have to be done before that. And then this group lists many things that have to be done. For example, the Banking Regulation Act of 1949 has to be amended to prevent connected lending. Now, that is the expression you will hear about often in today's Cut the Clutter, but also in this debate as it goes along. Connected lending, basically taking money out of one pocket and lending it to the other. So if corporate A owns a bank and corporate A needs money, so it can get its own bank to lend it to itself. Arey beta, aap business shuru karoge, aap paisa kahan se laoge? Mere daddy ka bank hai, my daddy owns a bank. So I'm simplifying it for you, but that is called connected lending. Now, connected lending can work in different ways. It may not be as direct as this, because people who run banks, people who run businesses are smart people. So some of this you saw in the manner it was done, say, at Yes Bank. So you can have a connected company. You have a company that looks like it's at arm's length. It can be some family member somewhere, some indirect holdings, something Benami, that can be done. Or if a bunch of corporates own banks, then they can do connected lending to one another. So that will be what is called as Chor Chor Mausere Bhai in Hindi, or in English, the approximate translation would be there is honor among thieves. Ke main tumse paise mang raha hu, mujhe de do. This is an IOU. When you need money, I will lend to you. That is because I can't lend to myself and you can't lend to yourself. So that will then set off, the fear is set off a chain of connected lending. So this recommendation says that large corporations should be allowed to do this, but before that, Banking Regulation Act has to be amended, and also that the system of regulation and supervision has to be strengthened a great deal. Then it has other recommendations, and I will just quickly run through a few. It says, for example, that promoter stake in banks today, that's a controversy right now. The RBI laws today, rules are much too strict. So somebody who launches a bank has to reduce his or her equity. The owner has to reduce it to 15%, and that owners consider onerous. They said that this is not worth it. After that, if we have invested so much, we need to have more control, more stake in what's going on. So this working group now says, IWG says, this should be allowed to go from 15% to 26% over 15 years, gradually. Now, you might ask me, what is the problem if one owner has 100% of the equity in the bank? That is precisely the problem, because then too much power. Banking is a business of trust. Banks take deposits. Banks take are several times over the capital they have or the liability they have. So for that to create trust and to keep everybody honest, you cannot have anybody owning too much equity. Today that is 15%. This committee says, this report recommends you take it up to 26%, but over a 15-year period. Then they also say that non-promoter equity, that means anybody else who owns shares in a bank, like a retail owner, but we are not talking of retail owners there, somebody who has a large amount of equity, that should be capped at 15%. So while the promoter may go up to 16%, other large investors can go up to 15%. Then it goes on to say that well-run non-banking finance corporations, say HDFC for example, it's a different thing. It's maybe not the best example because that group already has a bank, which is HDFC Bank. But well-run NBFC, say Bajaj Finance for example, should be allowed to set up a bank if their assets, that means if their total advances or loans are above 50,000 crores and if they've been in existence for more than 10 years. And then it has some reforms about small finance banks, that payments banks should become small finance banks. Some of the small finance banks are doing very well. In fact, one of those we deal with also, the print deals with, that is AU Small Finance Bank. And I see how they are doing, I see their balance sheets, and I see the performance, and I can see many other small finance banks are doing quite well. So this group also wants to promote that, and they also want payments banks to become small finance banks, and at the same time, they want to raise the minimum capital limit for regular banks or universal banks from 500 crores to 1,000 crores and for small finance banks from 200 crores to 300 crores. Because more the capital, more the promoter's skin in the game, as it's called. Otherwise, you will say, mere baap pe kya jata hai? Let the bank go down. You have to have some stake, some higher stake into the risk that is being taken. Now, I told you I'll talk about pros and cons. When it comes to pros, the big one, and that explains everything in terms of what might be supporting this idea, is that India's banking system is too underdeveloped yet too few people have access to banking, too few people have access to credit. India's banks need capital. India's banking system lacks capital. The only source of capital in India, or endless capital, unfortunately, is the government, which means government can keep picking the pocket of the taxpayer and funding its own banks, which keep on making losses. It's also a situation where those banks are not willing to lend because they are much too punch drunk, or they are licking their wounds. So that is the case for allowing the corporate sector to get into banking. Now let's count the cons, and there are many. So we'll share many articles with you. You can see those. There's a piece by Viral Acharya and Raghuram Rajan that I will quote a couple of points from. Then there is also a piece in today's Indian Express from Shankaracharya, former chief economic advisor Vijay Kelkar, who is one of the doyens of Indian economic financial policy making, and also Arvind Subramanian, the former chief economic advisor to Modi government, and a couple of others also, one by Vivek Kaul in Mint. Now, what are Viral Acharya and Raghuram Rajan saying? They are saying, look, from where does this idea come in when banking system is already going through a crisis? Even some private banks are in trouble, that is Yes Bank and Lakshmi Vilas Bank. And when this has reached to such a level of concern that in 2016, as recently as that, Reserve Bank of India had itself set down new norms for exposure to a certain group. So what happens if a bank has given too much of its loans to one business house? Then that creates a systemic risk in the bank. So a bank gives 30%, 40% of its loan book to one business conglomerate. What happens if that business conglomerate sinks? Because with that, the bank's loans will also sink. You saw what happened with, say, DHFL, IIFL, not the best examples, but see, before that, SR Group. These were groups to which banks had very large exposures. Nirav Modi, PNB, right? So when one of these groups sinks, then because the bank has such a large exposure to that group, it suffers a systemic risk. So to avoid that, RBI had issued guidelines. So they say, we had just issued guidelines to avoid exposure to one group or some groups. And now at the same time, you are saying that banks can be set up by corporates. They also go on to say that this will lead to the rise of monopolies. So a company can be owning this, and also a big bank. Also, because small corporates will not come in, corporates who will come in will only set up large banks. So large capital, large entrepreneurship, large lending capacity, it will also all come in one hand, which is not healthy. And then they go on to say that this will lead to creation of money power in the hands of some, which will also corrupt our politics even more. And they say, in the best of all worlds, you could have done it if you are truly independent, powerful regulators with truly independent and impartial boards. But such a thing does not exist in India. If anything, the importance, the independence of the regulators and institutions in India has been under an attack, and they've been getting weaker by the day instead of getting stronger. So in this situation, how can you actually expose your system to even greater risk? Then they go on to add that already RBI allows some corporates to set up banks. Now, these corporates should have no more than some limit of their businesses outside of the financial world. So if you are a finance company, if most of your business is in finance, not as if you have a finance company, you have a refinery, you have an automobile manufacturing company and something else, which are all borrowers. But if your basic business more or less is finance, you are a corporate, you can apply for a banking license. So leave it at that. Don't bring in the others into it. And then they speculate. They say, why is the government doing it at this point? Or why is the government floating this idea? And this could be because government is now anxious that it's going to sell some of its loss-making public sector banks. It's going to privatize them. And when it puts them on the block, who will put up a good price for these? You will need people with capital or access to capital. So if you bring in the corporates into the equation, then you might get better value for your public sector banks, which are today broken and which have today now become endless blind wells, andha kua, where you keep on throwing good money after bad money. So they say you might get a better price for selling a bank now, but the eventual risks will be much greater, and you might end up paying a much greater price, because when a bank sinks, the state, the taxpayer has to move in, because a bank cannot be allowed to sink. And a big bank, the bigger the bank, the larger the risk. So depositors have to be protected. So either the government will pay, or other PSU banks will pay, or some way will be found for the taxpayer to pay and keep that bank going. So this is their words, penny wise, pound foolish. Now, if you listen to Ila Patnaik, read her article with Radhika Pandey, who's a scholar also with Ila at National Institute of Public Finance and Policy, NIPFP, and also listen to her in her Illanomics Live. So she lists some problems with this new plan. Number one, she says it's very risky. It's very dangerous because connective lending will take place. We have no mechanism right now to completely prevent it. Private sector will make money, private investor will make the profits, but taxpayer will pay for the losses. Second, she says that Indian system lacks supervisory capacity, because if the supervisory capacity was good enough, then things like completely brazen destruction or self-destruction of Yes Bank would not have taken place, and also Lakshmi Vilas Bank now. And in the past, as with Global Trust Bank, when even private banks have fallen, those losses have been picked up by, or those liabilities have been picked up by, public sector banks or by the state. This is the first time that RBI has got it right, and they got a foreign bank to buy into Lakshmi Vilas Bank, so the taxpayer hasn't paid. But this has to become a much stronger practice, and supervisory capacity has to increase. So she says public sector banks are not lending because they've suffered such heavy losses and they have such bad loans that even the last 2 lakh crores, 2 trillion rupees given to them have just sunk in the black hole. So one, they don't have the capacity to lend because they don't have the capital. And second, quite importantly, they are afraid of all the C's, that is CBI, CVC and CAG. So they are afraid that if they lend, lending is a risk, and the loan goes bad, then these agencies will come after them. Nobody wants to take that risk. So even if you give them more capital, it will be wasted. Third, she says that you cannot do this unless you pass the FRDI Act. Now, FRDI Act is something that we've talked about in the past. That is Financial Regulation and Deposit Insurance Bill. Now, that was moved, but it was withdrawn because there was a sudden fear that depositors will no longer be secure. Now you need that law in whatever form. Of course, after answering the depositors' concerns, you need that to be able to shut down banks, to be able to sort out the mess, and to be able to move into the banks much before the RBI does. And the example there is the American FDIC, which is Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, which moves in at the first sight of weakness in a bank. In India, that doesn't happen. RBI is the only one that does it, and more often than not, it leaves it too late, by which time a lot of damage is done. So in India, you need the FRDI mechanism before that, and that law has to pass. And that law has to mature as well. Without that, it is very dangerous, and it has a systemic risk, because if a big bank like that collapses, either it will sink the entire system, or it will cost the taxpayer too much to keep things going. So in trying to fix one hole, you will end up digging a much larger hole. So I will just conclude this part. So I will finish this section borrowing the conclusion from the article of Vijay Kelkar, Shankaracharya and Arvind Subramanian, where they say the conclusion is clear: mixing industry and finance will set us on a road full of dangers for growth, that is dangers for growth, public finance and the future of the country itself. So I would say I'll go with this right now. I think the time to do this is not now, but yes, the time to bring in larger banking reform and the time now to convince people about FRDI bill and to pass it is now. What happens in the future, we will see. But this is not the time to invite corporates and tell them to bid for PSU banks, which at some point or the other, I think sooner than later, will go up on the block for sale. So having said that, my second point, this book. Now, what do scholars do that we journalists don't do? We journalists record history in a hurry. Ours is Aankho Dekha Haal of politics. Scholars then come and they pick up the stuff that we have done, stuff that others have written. They go back and check. They go back and talk to participants and players at a time when their stakes may not be so high, so they are more willing to talk. Also, they are not controlling tomorrow's headlines, so they are more generous with information. And that's the contribution that fine scholars of contemporary history make to our understanding of politics. Unfortunately, in India, we don't have many of them. And I am happy, therefore, that Vinay Sethupathi has joined in that group. So you have Ramchandra Guha for a certain period of our contemporary history. Then you have Srinath Raghavan, particularly when it comes to national security, foreign affairs, military history, etc. And now I would say that we are seeing the rise of a third one in Vinay Sethupathi, who will be writing on more contemporary issues. Many of the issues that played out in the working lives of people like us. So his first book was on PV Narasimha Rao called Half Lion, and second one is this. I am still reading it, so I'm not talking about this in more detail, but in the course of time I will, or I might even write about it.